So we're reading from John chapter 8, starting at verse 12. It's headed, "I am the light of the world." Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So the Pharisees said to him, "You are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true." Jesus answered, "Even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from or where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. In your law it is written that the testimony of two people is true. I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me." They said to him, therefore, "Where is your Father?" And Jesus answered, "You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also." These words he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, but no one arrested him because his hour had not yet come.
Well, today we're looking at the light of Jesus. And for those children that are watching, I was just thinking, what can we have for you? And I thought, if you wanted to do a drawing of the Israelites wandering through the desert with the pillar of fire at night and the pillar of cloud by day, and the Israelites in their tents following that light, that would be really in keeping with the theme of the service. Now, I'm not sure when the Sunday school children leave, have they? But now would be the time, I think. I'm sure it's not right to call the collection when we took it up physically intermission, but that was often the way that we sent the children to Sunday school. Before we look at our text, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can open your word now and hear an explanation from it. We thank you, Lord, that you speak to us through your word and that it touches our lives. We're so grateful that we don't live in the darkness, but that you speak into our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it throws me out a bit to see so many of you here today. I think you're probably our biggest congregation since COVID. That's what it looks like from here anyway, from my angle. So I've been preaching morning and sometimes at night from the Gospel according to John. And so we read these words of Jesus. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So I'm going to limit myself to these words today. I am the light of the world. Now, I want to start off with a bit of background because I think it just colours the scene. Jesus is at the temple and he's come there during the middle of the Feast of Booths or the Feast of Tabernacles. And I've got this diagram or this picture that maybe we can put on the screen. And you kind of see three courts there, and hopefully people online can see that and not me. But you have the outside court, the court of the Gentiles. You've got that Second court, which is the court of the women, and then you have the Holy of Holies and the temple proper, which is the one with the tall building there. Now, you have to imagine in your mind that Jesus has come into the court of the women, but he's come to stand before, but in the court of the women, there is a treasury, there is a place where people make donations. And so you can read that at the last part of the text, that it was the treasury there. And so Jesus is standing there. I can imagine in my mind there's a lot of temple police standing around. Jesus has overturned the money changers' table. They probably saw him coming and they get some more security over to that area. But Jesus is standing there in that court before the treasury. But in the festival of booths, the festival of tabernacles, it's okay to take that now down now, the festival of booths, the festival of tabernacles, it was a very exciting and joyful time in Jerusalem. People remembered their wilderness wanderings as they always did for the Passover, but also this particular festival. But it was filled with a lot of life, a lot of excitement. People made little tents made out of sticks, holes in the middle. Outside Jerusalem, inside Jerusalem, any free spot on people's rooftops, and there they would camp out. So it was a big camping experience for the people of Jerusalem. And every day there was processions with singing and bands or cymbals and so on going through the streets. But one of the highlights of the festival was the lighting up of a number of huge candelabras filled with olive oil that would symbolize the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night that led the people from Egypt into the promised land. So it's a festival of light as well. And so you need to imagine in your minds these huge candelabras being set up in the court of the women, which we just saw before, and Jesus standing there and saying, I am the light of the world. It's against that background that Jesus makes this amazing declaration. I am the light of the world. Now, before I go into that, I just want to say that there are seven I am statements in the Gospel of John. This is the second one. Jesus says, already said, I am the bread of life. I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth and the life. I am the vine. You are the branches. The very fact that Jesus said, I am, points to the fact that he sees himself as being one with God the Father. Yahweh, the name, personal name of God, has that I am in it. I am who I am, he said to Moses. But Jesus says this amazing statement, I am the light of the world. Whoever believes in me, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So Mark earlier picked up from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah about in his call to worship that a great light has appeared. And then he read John 1 verse 4, in him was life and that life was the light of all mankind. He also mentioned 1 John 1:5, the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. John 1 verse 9, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. John 12, I have come into the world as light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. These words are amazing. John speaks more about Jesus as light than any of the other gospel writers. And we have to consider Jesus' words. We have to think, well, what are the implications of those words? What does he actually mean by these words? So, brothers and sisters, by Jesus saying these words, and this is the first, perhaps the greatest implication of it, by Jesus saying these words, he's actually saying that if you are not recognizing him as Lord, that you are living in the darkness, that if you are not following him as Lord, that you are walking in darkness. Now, these words for the Christian are quite acceptable. But for anyone else, that would be kind of difficult to swallow, that they are living in the darkness and not the light. If you don't recognize Jesus as light, you're living in the darkness. If you're not following Jesus, you are walking in the darkness. That is what Jesus is saying here. Stumbling about in darkness, walking in darkness. So what do Jesus' words say to the atheist? The one who doesn't believe in God, doesn't believe in Jesus, it says that they're walking in the darkness. What does it say to anyone from another religion? That they're walking around in the darkness. What does it say to the one who says that all roads lead to God? That they are walking, stumbling around in the darkness. What does it say to the Pharisees and the rulers of Jesus' day? That they are walking and stumbling around in the darkness. These are the claims of Christ. I am the light of the world. Whoever, anyone that does not follow me is walking in the darkness. For me, this makes obvious sense. I'm one of those guys that when I was younger used to think those mazes, those garden mazes, were sometimes pretty cool. Can't be that hard to find your way out of a garden maze. Big hedges over your head and you've got to just sort of, here's the entrance, there's the exit, how hard can it be? It's a funny thing though, as I got older I got this sort of more of a panicky feeling about things. I sort of find myself going backwards and not going forwards. I can't find that exit. I'm really happy. I'm one of those guys that love it when in those garden mazes on the outside they've got these gates that you can go out of if you're feeling insecure. Well, that's where I go. That's an exit that I like. But that's what life is like. Kind of a labyrinth, a maze. If you don't know Jesus. That's what Jesus is saying here. How radical is that? How strong are Jesus' words? This is not me speaking. It's what Jesus declares himself to be. I am the one exclusive light of the world. Whoever does not follow me walks around in the darkness. So for me, Jesus is the light of the world. For you, Jesus is the light of the world. What does that mean for you? It means that you know where you've come from. You're born in sin. It knows that Jesus has spoken into your heart and that you've recognized that Jesus is the light. You know how you ought to live because his spirit is with you. You have his word. You know where you're going. You know Jesus as the light of the world, and what a massive comfort that is for us. Jesus, the Bible, they all speak into our life, they reveal things to us, and we can see what the world is all about through the light of the gospel. But people who don't know Jesus as the light of the world stumble around, walk in the darkness. They're in a maze that has no particular direction. Now, of course, many people find this abhorrent that Jesus would say this. They would actually maybe accuse Jesus of being intolerant. They would be intolerant of Jesus' intolerance. Jesus is the light of the world, an exclusive claim. People certainly do not like that today. If this wasn't true, there would be no need for missionary activity. There would be no need to send anyone out into the world. There would be no need for youth groups that try to reach the lost for Christ. Everyone would live in their own light. But Christian missionary endeavour has always been based on the fact that Jesus is the light of the world, and exclusively so. I wonder if you see the darkness around you. I wonder if you see that so many people are living lives that don't make too much sense. The massive accumulation of wealth that doesn't lead to happiness and certainly not to eternal life. There's so many examples of this. I was a bit surprised when I was preparing this sermon this morning. I was listening to Dick Lucas, who wrote a sermon on John 8. I wanted to know how other people tackled this particular text. And he said, and you wouldn't be surprised about this because it's the same in the rest of the Western world, that 1/3 of children in the UK are brought up in broken families. Now, that's not radical. That's part of the society in which we live. But what he did say, and I found this really strange, is that he said that many couples in England, when they come to decide who has the kids, they're saying to the other partner, "You take the kids. I don't want that responsibility. I want my freedom." That's what I've never heard before. Generally speaking, people will fight to see and have their children, but there were some that were saying, "No, you have the kids, I just want to be free." I just thought to myself, that's the depravity of man, isn't it? The sinful nature of our hearts. This foregoing of all responsibility. The Apostle Paul said that when we turn away from God, that we're on a slippery slope into all kinds of sin. He says that in Romans chapter 1. And we see that all around us. The fragmentation of society, the selfishness in society. I don't have an active Facebook account. I haven't tweeted anything. I don't have Instagram. The only means I have of communicating is the WhatsApp group, and I've got a lot of them. And lots of groups, the Bible study, church, and so on. But when I hear sometimes, you know, recorded in the paper, what people say to one another, the terrible words that are expressed, I think to myself, it's just terrible what people say. This all comes out of a depraved heart. So much hatred, so much bile. And you think, that's our society. It's a society that's lost its way, stumbling around in the darkness, turned their back on God. And we see it all around us in the selfishness and hatred of men. We see it on the political stage, one country fighting and for their own rights and sovereignty. We see it all over the place. We see so much of it, and it just reveals that depravity of man. Jesus said this in Matthew 6, "The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" So brothers and sisters, how dark are we as human beings in general? How dark is the darkness? Well, I heard an illustration. You go into a darkened room and you want to look at a picture on a wall or some words on a page. And what do? Well, you put a switch on the lights and you can see. See what you want to see. Study what you want to study. But the Bible, Jesus says that it's not just the turning on of the light that gives us the ability to see, but we need really the scales to be removed from our eyes. We are that. We live in darkness because we're blinded to the truth of the gospel. John said this in John chapter 9, as he went along, Jesus saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. Well, I am in the world. I am the light of the world." Again, that statement that Jesus makes. So why is that miracle recorded by John? Because he's saying that we are all blind and Jesus is the only one that can give us light. The invitation here, of course, is that if you do not know Jesus, if you recognize that you're stumbling around in the darkness, no future, no direction, then you need to bow the knee before Jesus and confess him as your Lord and Savior. And then the scales come from your eyes and you will see. That is what John is saying here. That is what Jesus is saying here. Well, brothers and sisters, most people think that they know better than God. That's one of the aspects of sin, one of the repercussions of sin. So just getting back to the temple scene and what the lamps represented. The lamps in the temple represented the pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night, and that's what led the Israelites to the promised land, God with his people. But imagine you're walking on that road to Canaan, to Palestine, and you think to yourself, "Well, I know better. I'm not going to follow that cloud. I'm not going to follow that pillar." And you decide to head off on your own way. Well, what would be the repercussions? You're in a desert area. You'd rather die of thirst, die of hunger, and you would certainly be taken into slavery by marauders. The people of Israel, wherever they went, were followed by tribes of people seeking to capture some and take them into slavery so they might sell them. So they'd be killed if they were too old or taken into slavery if they were younger. If you leave that road, if you do not follow the light, the pillar of the cloudy pillar or the pillar of fire by night, then it was just one huge disaster waiting to happen. Jesus says to us in our text, he says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life," the light of life. They are amazing words. If anyone here, if anyone's watching online, what road are you following? Are you following Jesus? If you're on a road that ends up in a bog, and you find yourself sinking, you've taken the wrong road. Most roads that people take in life are like that, aren't they? The roads away from Jesus. Leave Jesus behind and your marriage just start to suffer. Leave Jesus behind and you find yourself changed, but not for the good. Jesus offers us hope because he takes away our sin. He offers us his Holy Spirit that works in our lives and changes us. Jesus does this for us. He says, if you follow me, you will not only have life, but life to the full. This is what Jesus is offering us. Life to the full. The best life you could ever live is in following Jesus. Purpose, direction, hope, eternal life. God's presence with us always. Security. Jesus is the good shepherd. Guards his sheep, protects his sheep. Sacrifices himself for the sheep. To follow Jesus is the best life you could ever live. But if you're not following him, then immediately the light dims and the darkness begins. Well, I like just to bring this to an end. I just wanted to talk about the Lord's Supper briefly. Jesus gives us the bread and the wine as a symbolism of what we have. It just reminds us that Jesus is the great provider. He gives us life. We drink the wine, take the bread, and it reminds us of his body crucified, his blood poured out for our sins. It reminds us, as if we were to sit around a table, that we're all part of the one body. Jesus is our shepherd, he's our light, he's our life, and it's a foretaste of eternal life. These are all the things that we remember when we come to the table. When people came to the temple in Jesus' day, they saw those lights, they came for a Passover celebration, it was the same kind of things, wasn't it? They always remembered what Jesus has done and what God had done in the past and what God would do in the future, that they were his people. That they belong to him. That's what the Lord's Supper provides for us. You love the light of Christ. You acknowledge for yourself that Jesus is the light of the world, that he's the light of your own life. You know that for yourself. Do you know that if you're not following Jesus, that you are walking in darkness? Let me pray.